Everyone says, amen. So wonderful to be with you guys this morning. I want to just thank the Lord for you guys and for the band and everyone who's serving in this church. Thanks so much for your faithfulness. These guys who wake up early and everyone who's serving this morning and every Sunday. I really want to thank you. It's not easy to build church, amen. But I just realized again, guys, we are building church, okay? We are really in the building phase of our church. Church doesn't just happen, okay? It takes a bit of effort. It takes faith. We have to believe that God is leading us and that He's doing great things. So it's amazing to be called by God. Amen. So this morning, I really believe there's a word for us as a church this morning that for each one of our lives. I know some of us are going through challenging times. Some of us are students, so automatically it's like when you're a student equals challenge, amen. In the days that we're living in, okay, we don't know where you don't know if you're gonna have class tomorrow, you don't know if the university is gonna ever carry on, you don't know, you know, life is very uncertain. I think as a student, I think life is uncertain as a South African for that matter. But it's great to be living in the times that we're living in because God is good, amen. So this morning, I want us to turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, reading verse 7 and 8. So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Jeremiah 17. Otherwise, if you didn't bring your Bible, I did you a great favor this morning, and I put it up on the screen for you. You can thank me later, pay me later, you know, any joking. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Say, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Listen to this. This is this guy who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. This person. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Isn't that an amazing promise? Amen. The promises of God are awesome. It says here that you'll be blessed, and this is what that blessing is going to look like. It's not going to be a life of comfort. It's not going to be a life of, you know, we just go through life and everything's fine. In fact, that blessing talks here about being like a tree that spreads out its roots by the river. It's not going to fear because guess what? Heat is going to come. So turn it to someone next to you and say, heat is going to come. And guess what else is going to come? In the Free State, we know this. Drought is going to come. Okay, turn to someone next to you and say, drought is going to come. Okay, so heat is going to come, drought is going to come. But guess what? This guy who trusts in the Lord and this lady who trusts in the Lord is going to be like a tree who will not die. Its leaf will be green and it's not going to be anxious. It's going to bear fruit in and out of season. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I believe that is the life that God is calling us to live. It's not a life of comfort. It's not a life where everything goes well because circumstances will go tough. Things aren't going to be easy. But guess what? One thing is sure. If we trust in the Lord and our hope is in the Lord, we are going to bear fruit. Amen. And I think if we look at about in the world that we're living in today, it seems like there's not too much to get excited about. Okay, there's not too much that we can rely on, that we can hope in, that we can trust in, that we can get excited about. Okay, life seems to be getting faster and faster. There's more stress. There's more challenges. It's tough. It's not easy. But I believe that the Lord is saying to us as a church, it's time to trust fully in the Lord our God. Amen. I really believe it. I really believe God is calling us to trust more and more in Him than ever before. Because I really believe, and if I look at my own life, I do trust in a lot of other things. I trust in God, and I say I trust in God, but I do rely on a lot of other things. And often I rely on things going well, and then I'm like, okay, God, you know, now I trust in You. Or yes, Lord, you know, I trust in You, so things should always go well. And then you actually trust in your circumstances. You trust in Your good ways, Your good works. And I believe God is calling us to really, really trust in Him. This weekend we had an amazing time of Convergence. Anyone go to Convergence? So just a couple of you there, but it was awesome, eh, guys? I really want to encourage us all to go next year again. But the Lord spoke so clearly, and the message on the first Friday night of this conference was like hectic. The church is going to be divided. There's going to be five virgins. Pastor Fred talked about the 10 virgins. Five had their oil and five didn't have enough oil. They had oil, but they ran out, and then they tried to find oil and the Lord said, sorry. So it was quite a hectic message of the five virgins not being entered into the, or not being welcomed into the kingdom, and five that were. And it's like he said, there's going to become a time when the church is going to be divided. And it's not talking about religious people. It's talking about charismatic, spirit-filled people. They were all filled with oil. They all had oil in their lamps. So it talks about people who understand the Spirit. People who say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these things in your name? You know, did we not cast out demons and do all this stuff? And he said, I never knew you. And it was quite a scary message for us as believers to say, are we really trusting in the Lord? Do we really know God? And are we really following him? And I believe that is the life that he's calling us to live. What is quite hectic in the scripture before that, I just want to read that as well, because Jeremiah talks here about the other life. There's a life of trust, and then there's a life where we don't trust God. And it says the following in verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. Doesn't just say he won't be blessed, he says it's going to be the opposite. There's going to be a curse on him. And I believe that curse is the following. His heart is going to depart from the Lord. That's scary. I think if our heart departs from the Lord, I think that's a scary place. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. He shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. So I think I would rather be the guy who's blessed, amen, than the guy who's cursed. Because there's only two choices, it seems, that you're either going to be blessed and you're going to love the Lord God with the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything, or you're going to be departing from the Lord, and that brings a curse if you depart from the Lord. So I want to look this morning at not trusting in the ways of man and in the flesh, causing our hearts to depart from the Lord. I want to look at how can we trust the Lord. But before we do that, I want to look at what are the enemies of trusting in the Lord? Okay, now I had the privilege this week of being with the pastors, all the pastors of Shofar on the Pastor Summit. We got together and so on. And so on the Wednesday, we had a nice outing and we did a social together, or a team building thing together. So has anyone done the Cape Canopy Tour? It's called ziplining, or no one done you know, in Eisner, they've got it, the Tsitsikamma Forest, and I think up north in Machubas Kloof, they've got it. And so, has anyone done something like that before? Okay, anyone done the Cape one, the Cape Canopy Tours or not? Because that's like the most awesome one. Okay, so I'll show you a picture now. You can put that picture up there. So that's not me. That guy's a little bit more handsome than me, so it was one of the guys in our group. But you basically swing from, or not swing, but you go down this thick cable with a little pulley, and literally there's like a mechanism with a pulley on, and then you hook yourself on there, and you've got a harness and everything like that. It was so funny. So we get to the briefing session, okay? So we sit in the briefing session, and so the guy says, you know what, you better go to the toilet now, because once you've got this harness thing on, then you can't go to the toilet anymore. So he said, it's before you got this harness on, it's called the Cape Canopy Tour. But when you've got this harness on, it suddenly changes to the Cape Cannot Pee Tour. Okay. So anyway, that's such great guys, those guides and so on. But anyway, so we get the briefing, we put on the harness and all of that, and then you get taken up on a half an hour drive to the top of these awesome mountains. I'll tell you, the views there are just amazing. I just really saw again how great God is and just how awesome his creation is. It's a treat for a free stater who's just used to like the flats, and then you get in these mountains and all of that. So what a blessing. But anyway, so now you go from platform to platform. Now you're standing on this platform, and there's like meters and meters of just cliff down here, and it's just valleys. And you're like, if you're in any way scared of heights, it's quite a challenge, okay? Because it's not like you see trees around you. You can literally see, and you're standing on the edge here, and you're like, and you realize you're going to go down this thing, this line, this thick cable, and you realize you literally are trusting, first of all, in God, amen. But you're trusting, you're putting your trust in this cable and in this mechanism and these hooks. And if something goes wrong, you're gone, okay? And so we're driving up, and there's a pastor from Malawi who's also in the group with us. And so So we asked the guide now, like, so how many people have died in this thing before? So he goes, no, none, you know. So we've got, what, nine? Nine people. No, none. You know, his accent was a bit funny. So when we're driving up, like, we remind this pastor from Malawi, and we tell him, you know what the guy said? He said, like, nine guys have died on this thing. Are we joking with this guy? Because, like, we can see he's so nervous. And we say, you know, nine guys, and eight of them were from Malawi. This poor guy is like, the guys are so like, they're making him more nervous and more nervous. And this guy is really freaking out. I think outside he's like, no, we're going to do this. But I think inside he was so nervous. But anyway, but your trust gets tested on this adventure that you go on. And so when I was doing this, I was reminded of, you know, how much do we trust in these things? How much do we trust in these mechanisms and these this thick cable to hold you? But how much more shouldn't we trust in God? And so, what's the first enemy of trust? Isaiah 12 says the following. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Underline that. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. That's an amazing scripture. The writer is basically saying that you can either trust or you can be afraid. But you cannot fully trust if you're afraid. Isn't that so? And so I believe our number one enemy of really trusting in the Lord is fear. And when you're doing this tour, this zip lining, you get confronted again with fear. And if you are so full of fear, I tell you, you will not let go and you will not go down that thing because you have to trust. You've got to trust in that thing to hold you. You've got to trust that no one, and that's why, like, the question was, so how many people have died in this? And luckily the answer wasn't nine, but none. Because you realize that you could die doing this thing. It's like a risk. You're taking a risk. But if you have fear, and if you're going to hold on to your fears, you know what? You're going to struggle to go. And unfortunately, some people didn't go on the thing. They did, and I mean, it's not right or wrong. It's just that, and I'm not like a guy who, I don't think I'll do bridge swinging or bungee jumping or anything like that. I think that'll freak me out. But this is cool. You have to overcome a few fears, but it's great. It's nice. But in order to trust, in order to fully let go and to just like go down this thing, you have to let go of your fear. You cannot keep your fear. And I think in the kingdom of God, it's so the same. If you don't trust fully in God and know that He is your strength, He is your song, He is your salvation, therefore you can live a life of joy, you can live a life of overcoming, you cannot fully trust God unless you let go of that fear. And I believe some of us have to let go of fears in our lives. We've got to, if we want to fully trust God and say, God, we do trust you, then we've got to say, okay, what are the fears that are preventing me from trust in God? And so I don't know what you're fearing this morning. Maybe you do fear like, class tomorrow, am I going to get a degree? Am I going to have a life? You know, am I going to make it in this country? You know, am I going to be accepted by friends? I don't know what your fears are. Failure, rejection. I've got to let go of these fears. But a way to let go is to say, God, I trust in you. I put my hope fully in you. And the second one, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. And Paul writes this to Timothy because he says to, he must teach these people they are not to trust because they are trusting. So guess what? Many of us in the world, we do trust, or we are all in the world, we are Christians, but many of us don't fully trust in God because why? We're trusting in our uncertain riches. As long as I've got enough money, as long as I've got a lot of money, you know what? Then I'm actually fine. Then I don't really need to trust God. And isn't it so that in the West, if you look at the people in Africa, if you look at the people who've got less money, and in fact they've got no money, I was just challenged again by Sam, Pastor Sam, who was here last week. I was again challenged by his faith and his childlike faith to trust God, where he said he didn't even ask anyone for money, but God provided for his trip to South Africa. And it was just amazing the faith that these guys have, because you know what? They've got no money to trust in. They literally cannot trust in money. And that's why the Bible says it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. It is hard for a rich man to really let go. Because we have so much to trust in. We can trust in riches. Riches in a way can be trusted for this life. Many people are trusting in riches for this life. Isn't that so? So you don't need God. You don't really need God. Because, you know, your money can buy you a lot of stuff in this life. You can buy your health, literally. You go to a hospital and get all sorts of stuff done to your body. And, you know, if you're rich, you can live a life. You can drive in a nice car. You can live in a nice house. You don't need to trust God. And that's why it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And so I want to challenge us this morning. If we are still trusting, even in a little bit, in uncertain riches, don't do that, because we need to trust in the living God. I mean, who gives us all things. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. And God blesses us with finances. God blesses us with money. God doesn't know. It's not money that's the problem. It's the love of money. It's the trust in money. Amen. So that's the second enemy of really trusting in God, is the riches of this world, material stuff. And then Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Enemy number 3, and lean not on. We many times rely on our own understanding. We rely on our own strength. We rely on our own wisdom. And we don't acknowledge God in all our ways. And we don't allow Him to direct our paths. Why? Because we are so clever. We know better. Isn't that so? So don't trust in your own understanding. Don't trust in yourself. Don't rely on your own understanding or your own strength or your own wisdom. In all your ways, acknowledge first of all that God is the God who gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. He gives you life. And so I believe trusting in yourself is also an enemy of trusting in God. Trusting in the arm of the flesh, the arm of our own strength. So I want you to seriously look at your heart and say, God, this morning, where do I still trust in money? Where do I still trust in myself? Where do I still trust in the things of this world? Where do I trust? And where do I even trust in fear? You know, I was thinking of this, about the whole thing of fear. You know, many times we can find safety in our fears. We find comfort in our fears, because it's actually nice to fear, because then you're like, no, I'm not going to go there. You know, I'm not going to go down this line now, because it's okay. It's okay to just be comfortable here. And you hold on to your fear and you use your fear as a reason not to let go, not to just go on the adventure that God wants you to go on, not to go on this adventure of faith where you realize I'm trusting in God. And I believe God is calling some of us to, like, literally get off that platform and just swing down that line, and knowing it's God's line, it's God's cable. He's got it covered. He's not going to let us die. He's a good father. He's not going to let some freaky stuff happen. He's got us in the palm of His hand. Amen. So how do we trust in God? How do we really trust in the Lord our God? There's just 4 things here that I want us to consider this morning. Because we know, yes, ourself, money, fears, whatever prevents us from trusting God. But how can we trust in God? How can we really trust in Him? Psalm 18 verse 30 says the following. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. So I want to ask you this morning, what are the promises of God in your life? What are the promises that God has given you? I'm sure God has given each one of us as His children His word to stand on and say, you know, this is what I've called you for. This is who you are. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. I believe in you. I've got a life for you. But what is the word that the Lord has given you? Don't just hope it or wish for it. Believe it. Believe in the word, because why? It's perfect. It's proven, and it's a shield to all who trust in His word. Amen. What are God's promises to you? Stand on them. Believe in them. Hope in them. Trust in them. It was so amazing. The conference, God actually gave a word to show for through the Convergence conference. And one of our guys actually, you know, sent a vision to HQ, to the head office, about that God wants to give us a new heart. And it was so amazing that in the intercession every morning, God confirmed that, and every session and every speaker that spoke talked about the Father's heart, some angle of the Father's heart that God wants to impart in us. A heart of the shepherd, a heart of compassion, a heart for the nations, for generations, for the next generation. And it was so amazing, because God said to us beforehand, as a movement, that we need a new heart, and He wants to do some operating. And it was amazing how it came to pass. And I believe it's still going to come to pass. It's like God speaks and then there's a process. Then the operation happens. Then it's like, okay, God, we want this new heart. It's not just going to happen in one weekend. And so it's so amazing when you receive a word from God as a movement or as a church. And I really believe it's for us as well and for all of us that God wants to give us a new heart. And so that is one of the words that we can trust in. We can say, okay, God, we believe you said it. So now we're going to expect you to do it. But what is he saying to your life personally? That's more important, to say to God, God, what have you got for me? What do you have to change in my life? And what is the word in my life? Because he's going to do it, I believe. Amen. He's going to do it and make his way perfect in us. Make his word solid in our lives. But we need to start to know the word of God. So I believe God wants to give us a desire for his word again. Amen. To read his word. To study his word. To make his word our own. Not just to say, oh, God, it's your word for the, you know, for people out there. It's your word for me. And I'm convicted again. I'm, you know, just going through these scriptures. It's so amazing. It's so challenging. Because you realize, yeah, do you really love the word of God? Do you really desire it? Do you really make it your own? And I really believe God wants to give us a hunger again for his word so that we can trust in him. Because if we're not going to trust in his word, if we're not going to know his word and his character and who he is, we're not going to trust him. So trust in the word of the Lord. And then secondly, some trust in and boast of chariots and some of horses. But we will trust in and boast of the name of the Lord our God. There is no other name, amen, than the name of Jesus. Just say that name. Say that name again. Just say Jesus. 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 There's no other name than the name of Jesus. And we can trust in and boast in. I love what the Amplified says. It doesn't only say we must trust in that name, but it says that we can boast in that name. I think we get ashamed of the name of Jesus many times. We're so worried about what people think. And so we use all sorts of other names. You know, it's so easy to say this God out there, you know. But there's a difference. When we use the name of Jesus, it changes everything. Isn't that so? And that's why he says we mustn't use his name in vain. We must use his name with honor and trust in that name. And that is why we pray in that name. Anyone pray in the name of Jesus? Yeah. And many times we forget to use the name of Jesus and we just assume it. But when you say in the name of Jesus, you know what? You realize there's authority. Amen. You realize there's power. When you pray something and you end off and you say in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ. I love when Peter Pollock preaches, then he always ends it off like that. He prays these prayers and everything, and then he ends off like this. Whether he's starting a sermon or finishing a sermon, then he just stops and says, "This I pray in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ." And it's like it hits you there. It's like there's this authority, there's this awesome power in the name of Jesus. And I remember once when my grandfather was still alive, he was visiting us, and my mom's one daughter and her sister's the other daughter, and they were there, and suddenly he started to feel bad, and he almost like started to pass out and stuff because he had low blood pressure and all of that, and so he was like literally fainting, and they realized that sure, this could be quite detrimental to his, I mean, he could possibly like just not make it, you know, his heart could just stop or whatever. And so she was like, my mom's sister's really a believer, and she just called me and said, come. And he was like sitting there, and they were like holding him up in the kitchen there and trying to give him like Marmite, because apparently Marmite like works to help you get over your low blood pressure. I don't know. But she was just like, I could see it's time to pray now, because he's like busy leaving us almost. And she just prayed, and she just said, Jesus. That's all she said, just Jesus. She just spoke the name of Jesus over him like that. Jesus, Jesus. And I was like, I had been saved at the time, and I was filled with the Spirit, and I wanted to pray, but I was like challenged by the fact that she was just speaking the name of Jesus over. No, you know, obviously you're emotional and you are a bit afraid, but you just pray the name of Jesus and you realize there's authority, there's power in the name that is above every other name, Jesus Christ. And so there's power, guys, in the name of Jesus. We must trust in his name. We must use the name of Jesus. You know, This name of the Lord that it's talking about here is, and this is, I believe, encompassed in this name of Jesus Christ. It's the all mighty God. It's the all-knowing God. It's the all-powerful God. Amen? It's the almighty God, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God. And then it's Jehovah Rapha is our healer. The name of the Lord talks about Jehovah Rapha being our healer, Jehovah Jireh being our provider, Jehovah Nissi being our banner, Jehovah Shalom being our peace, Jehovah Roy, or El Roy, the one who sees. I can go on and on and on and on about many different names of the name of the Lord our God. It's all found in that name of Jesus who's come to reconcile us to Him. So do we really trust in the name of the Lord? Because as Christians, we many times just get so used to using, God and the Lord and Jesus is out there. But we don't realize we can truly trust in the name of the Lord our God. And then in Psalm 61 verse 4, it says the following, I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. Which means think about this, contemplate this. Meditate this, trusting in the presence of the Lord. I want to say this morning, sometimes we get so vulnerable. I mean, we get so afraid to be in the presence of God. Isn't that so? We actually are afraid to be vulnerable. We're afraid to be honest. We're afraid to confront our weaknesses. And so we don't really want to go into the presence of the Lord because we know God is going to deal with us. Isn't that so? I want to say this morning, it's not just about going to church. It's not just about being in church. It's about being in the presence of God all the time. But you see, we're not automatically in the presence of God. God is everywhere. But I believe we have to abide there. And we've got to trust that we are fine and safe and okay in His presence. We don't have to be perfect. In fact, the worst thing is to think that you have to be perfect in the presence of God. Because guess what? Then you're not in the presence of God. Then you're deceived if you think you're perfect. But when you're in the presence of God, you realize, like Isaiah said, woe is me. I'm undone. Isaiah has this vision of the presence of God, the vision of the temple, of the train of His temple, filling the whole tabernacle and the glory of God. And he just realizes, woe is me. But I believe we need to be comfortable. We need to trust in the presence of God. We need to abide in His presence. Sometimes, like this pastor that we were joking with, I mean, I guess we should repent of the guys that did joke with him, because he actually ended up doing one of those things. But it was so funny. We watched him now. He's all stiff now. The best is just to relax. When you're going down that cable, you've just got to relax, because then it's like in anything, When you're doing life, it's just better to relax. When you're tense and stiff, and so his legs are so stiff, he's holding on like this, and now he. You have to brake with your glove. You use the one glove behind, and you must put it behind the pulley, because I can tell you, if you put your hand in front of that pulley, that'll be very anal. So the guys tell you, please just put your hand behind. And so he obviously now just decided to brake too. He was like so scared. So he brakes, and now he's like hanging in the middle, mid-air there. So he doesn't get to the end of the platform or to the next platform. So I think that must have even been more scary for him, because the best is just to get to the next platform, And obviously you have to brake, and you got to like do it right. Otherwise, you there is an emergency brake, so you're not going to like crash into anything. But we watched this guy. Now he's hanging like not quite in mid-air, but like the other guy had to literally go along the line to pull him back like that. And so that must have been hectically scary. But I think it must have been a good place. I don't know how it felt to be there. But sometimes we have to be in mid-air like that. We just have to hang in the presence of God. I mean, knowing that He's got us in His hand. We don't have to fear. We don't have to worry if circumstances don't seem good or things don't make sense or we've messed up or whatever. We can know, yes, we can hang in the middle of that thing. And God is okay. God has got us. And He's got a God. He's got someone who's not afraid. He's got someone who's done this before to come and reel us in, to come and help us. And so I believe we're going into a season where things aren't always going to make sense. Amen. Things are going to be a little bit uncomfortable. Things are going to be out of control. The big word, the big C word, which we also want to do. We so want to control everything. So want to control our lives and calculate our lives, and everything must be so controlled. And God is saying, let go. Amen. Let go. Trust, church, trust in me. Trust in me. I've I've got this covered. I've done this before. But we need to trust in the presence of the Lord, guys. We need to be comfortable in the presence of God. And sometimes just be there. Sometimes just do nothing. You know, like I'm the first to say, you know, it's so difficult sometimes to just be. You know, we've always got to do stuff. God has called us to do stuff, but God hasn't called us to do stuff if we don't first dwell in His presence, trust in His presence. Just stop and say, God, speak to me. I want to hear you. Let's trust in the presence of the Lord. And then lastly, Matthew 16, verse 18. The promise that Jesus gives to Peter, and He says to him, Peter, I say to you, your name means rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. All the powers of hell are not going to conquer it. I believe, church, we need to trust in God's plan. Amen. We need to trust in His plan for the nations, His plan for the world, His plan for the lost. It's all through His church, and He's going to build His church. Isn't that amazing? Can I have an amen? God is building His church right now as we speak. He is building His church. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to trust in the plan of the Lord and not to try to make other plans, not to try to run around and get all stressed now. Is God doing stuff? Is God, where is God in all of this? God, Jesus Himself made a promise and He said, I will build my church. But I believe our responsibility is to trust in Him and to do His will. Amen. To trust Him to do His will. And His will is that we go and we build relationships with people. We connect with people. We make disciples. We baptize people. We teach people. Matthew chapter 28 verse 18. God said He will build His church. But guess what? He said to us, go. Go and make disciples. He said, go and pray for laborers. Raise up laborers. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Amen. So unfortunately, the bad news this morning is we can't just do nothing and say, God, you're going to do everything. Because that's not what trusting in the Lord is. Trusting in the Lord is to know Him, to do His will. And once we've come out of His presence, you know what? We're going to make disciples. I believe it. Once we trust in Him fully, we are going to be so excited to connect with people. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, God just gave me a desire to connect with people, a passion for people, a passion for His kingdom to come. I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited about connecting with people, building relationships, making disciples. And He said to us, make disciples, baptize them, teach them. In other words, you need to know what God is saying to you. If we're going to teach other people, we cannot have nothing to teach them. Amen. We heard it at the conference again. It's like one guy said, you can't give anything that you haven't received. You can't be a father if you haven't first been a son. But you know how to be a son to a father. You can't be a father to another person if you've never been a son. And so God is raising up fathers, but He's firstly raising up sons. He's raising up disciples so that He can make disciple makers out of those disciples. And a good disciple is a disciple maker. If you're really following Jesus and you really know His plan, you know what? He's going to make you a disciple. He's going to make you make disciples. But guys, for this, I really believe that, and the ushers can hand out the communion. We're going to take communion right now, and we're going to just affirm again and say to the Lord, Lord, we trust in You. But I believe in order for us to do this, in order for us to be the church that God wants us to be, we need to trust each other. Amen. And it's easy to say, Lord, yes, I trust in You. But you know what God is saying to us? He's saying, trust the people in My church. And I want you to listen to me now because I believe this is where the devil is really attacking us. This is where the devil is really trying to get a breakdown in trust in God's people. And ultimately, what is he trying to do? He's trying to make us not trust him anymore. Not trust God anymore. The devil is trying to break our trust so much that we start to doubt God. We don't trust in God anymore. So I really believe that we need to trust each other again and ask God to restore the trust in each other. If there's been a breakdown of trust maybe, or You know, when you've started to make disciples and you were so excited, you started off passionate for the Lord, and then, you know, sure, it's so difficult, or yeah, people aren't listening anymore. People aren't excited to build relationships, so I'm just going to leave it. You know, I don't trust people anymore. I love Jesus, but people aren't going to listen to me. People aren't going to follow me. People, what is the use of doing all of this? And then we forget it, and we just don't do it anymore. Or maybe, you know, we've had someone disciple us, and they've hurt us, or they've not been the best father in our lives, spiritually or whatever. But all I really believe, I feel the Lord saying, is we need to just trust the Christ in each other. And the Bible says that we mustn't trust man. We must definitely not trust man. Amen. We cannot fully trust in people. We cannot fully trust in our own strength. But I still believe God is asking us to let go of that platform and to go down that line of trusting each other again. Amen. And trusting the Christ in each other, not trusting the person primarily, because that person will let you down. That person will drop you. And so we can't get dependent upon people. We can't get like so close to people that we're like, I'm trusting in this guy, you know, this priest. That's the religion. Trusting in the priest for your salvation. Trusting in the duomini or the pastor for your salvation. That's not what God is calling us to. He's calling us to trust him. But in him, he lives in people. And in people, Christ is there. The Christ in us is the hope of glory. And he's wanting us to trust him inside other people. And I'm so thankful. I was just this weekend again, I was just reminded, or this week that's passed, you know, to be in the trenches with such incredible people and men and women of God. It was so encouraging for me to be part of this army. And you can ask Yaku, he was there with me. And it was just so amazing to be part of this. And it's far from perfect people. And they'll be the first to say, you know, they're not perfect. But what I saw in these guys' hearts is that they want to see God's kingdom come. And there's different gifts, there's different talents, there's different skills. And God just puts us all together and he makes us his church. He makes us his bride, spotless. And he's busy with it. He's doing it. I can sense this week past, he's cleansed us all. He's delivered us of a lot of stuff. But I just was saying, Lord, I'm so thankful to be part of this kingdom. I'm so thankful to be part of your kingdom and to be part of this part of the body of Christ. You know, there's so many churches and great churches and not so great churches. And we just happen to be a church, one of God's chosen churches. And I'm just so thankful to be part of Shofar again. I'm really just saying, God, I don't deserve this. And all of us were testifying that one morning saying, no, we don't deserve this. Who are we to be here? But God has called us. God has put us on a rock. And I believe some people are, as I was praying for the service, I just felt some people are like on the sand. You're like, you're sort of trying to survive in the soft sand, the sinking sand. And God wants to put us on a rock again. He wants to put you on a rock. To trust him, but then you need to let go and get off your platform and trust God. Trust the people who God has chosen around you. Trust this church. And he wants to restore that this morning. So I want the band to come forward and then we can just pray together and just take communion together this morning. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your plan. Lord, we recognize, Lord, there's so many enemies in our lives, God. We recognize that even ourselves, God, we are many times the enemy of our own trust, Lord, in you, because we trust too much in ourselves. We trust in our own judgment, Lord. We trust in the fallenness of our decision-making, the fallenness of our deception many times, Lord. Our own emotions, we cannot trust our hearts, Lord. Or even finances, God, in riches. We trust in riches, Lord, and we find comfort in riches, Lord. Or even we find comfort in our fears many times, Lord. Because, Lord, we know we don't have to take that risk, Lord. We don't have to get off that platform because it's rather comfortable just looking at the view and just seeing how great you are. But Lord, you're calling us on this adventure of trust, Lord. When we trust in your word, God, we trust in your name, Lord. We trust in your presence, Lord, and we trust ultimately, God, in your plan. Your plan of salvation for the nations, Lord, and that's your church. And you said, Lord, you will build your church. And that is another promise that we can trust, Lord. But this morning, God, I pray that we'd trust each other as well again, Lord. We trust your church, Lord, that it is the plan. has fallen and has many times also, Lord, missing you many times, but thank you that you are in control, Lord. Thank you that you're in control of your church, Lord. And we want to trust this morning in even the leaders, Lord, that you've placed in this movement, God. We want to, Lord, affirm again just that you've called Pastor Fred, Lord. You've called the team, the apostolic team, God. You've called the regional leaders, God. You've called me, Lord, as the pastor of this church, God. You've called all the leaders in our church, God. I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you that we are so dependent upon you. We want to trust you in this time, Lord, more than ever before. We thank you this morning, Lord, for what you've made possible, Lord. You've made it possible that we can trust again. We can forgive again. We can repent again. We can walk into the veil and into the Holy of Holies as vulnerable and as weak and as messed up as we are, Lord. You come to restore us by your blood, Lord. So thank you this morning, Lord, that you restore trust in our midst, Lord. Because, Lord, we know you've called us to be the blessed, Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man and the woman who's going to be planted and bear fruit in and out of season.